What?
Did you press the button?
Yes.
Oh, I did too. It stalled on me now for a second, so I got a bit of a fright. So I was like, oh. I was like, are we off to a shocking start?
No, because you already mentioned the name of someone who was, like, exactly. Not even the name, but, like, the idea of someone who has permanently haunted this podcast. And I'm already scared because there's a connection now with this.
I know. And this whore has just every fucking time.
This is why we have the bubs on my lap, because cats are supposed to ward off bad fucking spirits.
What have I got, man? I've nothing, only anxiety.
I got us both. It's all good.
Okay, that'll have
small
to do.
Small boy is across the way on the fucking rug. So I don't know how effective he is from a distance, but he's got big cat energy, so...
I mean, it could probably radiate through the screen and I could probably pick it up. Do you know what I mean?
I think it could. You've seen the amount of sass that fucking boy has.
Little ginger with the underbite and overbite, which makes no sense. You think his jaw would be shut, but no.
No, it's the opposite. It's like permanently open lips. You know the fucking, like, sometimes my lip gets stuck on my teeth. That.
No.
Permanently singing that. No. Do you know? I need to send you so many fucking videos.
I have never heard of that.
It's like, it's just that little song, and it's like teethy animals who get their lips stuck on their teeth. So
oh my,
like,
God, no. That's so cute.
That's what he looks like all the time. So then that song just permanently plays in my head, because my life is basically just a series of reels and memes now. So.
Also fair.
But anyways, point being, hopefully they'll protect us from the bad juju of what's about to happen.
True. Before we start off, have you any news for the week? We're back with season 3. Are we calling it season 3 or is it continuation of season 2? I don't know. 3?
No, I feel like we had to do season 3 at some point, and we have no rhyme nor reason, so why the fuck not now?
I mean, that's so fair. We don't have to be consistent with the amount of episodes we had in season 1.
Season 1. I think we're short episodes compared to what we had in season 1.
Oh, absolutely.
We got like 20 or 30 episodes or something like that in this season. Listen, it's fine. We could have like 100 in this one for all you know.
Exactly.
We are winging it. And it shows. And you keep coming back to listen. So what does that say?
Yeah, this isn't about us. This is about you. So.
Check yourself.
What?
Thunder.
Oh, I thought we were getting haunted. I was like, do not. Oh my God, fucking no thanks. Oh my God, was I telling you, I think one of my kids can see dead people.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So,
I'm surprised it took so long, to be honest, because it's that spooky fucking building.
I know, but he's not even seen them in like the spooky building. He's seen them at home. So, nice. Right, very chatty kid, right? Very, very chatty, very, like, he's very good at communicating, right? He's got a very good vocabulary, is able to express himself very well, right?
Right.
Like that, he's not one for telling lies. I was doing like a circle time trying to explain to them how like the moon has craters and all that kind of crack, right? And explain to them like what asteroids were and all that kind of stuff, right? Having a great time. And out of nowhere, he goes like, Miss Lizzie, do you know there's a monster in my home? And I was like, ah, oh, bless. Like, do you know? He's obviously like been watching something, or he's been playing something. Mm. Or like, do you know, his parents are like messing with him, or do you know? He's still a kid, like they're
story,
still
whatever.
Yeah, like they still have like imaginations and all that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, really? I was like, oh, what does he look like? I said, is he funny or is he cute? Like, do you know? And he's like, no, he only comes in the night. And I was like, eh? I was like, what? And he's like, he is black colour. Like, as in like, because that's what I say, like, if they see it, like, a colour, they'll be like,
a shadow or something.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't know what a shadow is, so they'll...
It's like black coloured.
Yeah. So like, if we had, like, if our like light box, you say, in school... We did it where there was like puppets, where it was all like from like doing like shadow work and stuff like that. But they'll be like, black colour spider, black colour, you know, like that's how they'll say what it is. And I was like, all right. And I was like, and then what happens? And he was like, I do see him when I'm going to be sleeping. And I was like, all right. I said, and what happens? And he was like, the black colour stands. And that was it, right? And I was like, all right. I said, what did your mommy, did you tell your mommy, daddy? And he said, Mammy and Daddy bought me a light gun. So like a like a torch, right?
No, light gun. Never refer to it as anything else ever again.
And I was like, ah, I said, and does that work? He said, when I turn on light gun, monster goes. And I was like, oh, very, very nice. And I said, are you all right? Like, are you scared? And he's like, maybe sometimes, maybe sometimes. And I was like, all right, okay. So I said it to his mom then when, like, she came to pick him up. And I was like, oh, he's telling me all about the monster, like, that he saw at home. And when I tell her, it's on her face dropped. She was like, you could tell she was uncomfortable, like, as in she was like a bit freaked out. And she was like, yeah, no, he just came into the room one night, like, really, really scared, saying that he had saw something in his room. And she said, like, we thought, like, you know, like, he had a nightmare, you know. And it's just his mind putting pictures together, like, forming shapes in the dark.
Yeah.
But she said, but it keeps on happening. And, like, they're very religious, like, you know. And so they're like, he was staying with them for a couple of days in their room. And then she was like, no, it can't become a habit because, like, she's also pregnant. So, which could also have an effect on why the child is, like, you know.
Acting the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But he's, like, really excited for the child, like, his sibling to come. So I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it could also be a factor, you know, like, that this is just, like, setting everything off. So the mom and dad, like, got him a torch. And she said ever since they've gotten the torch, where he, like, turns it on and off, like, if he thinks that he sees the monster and he knows it's not there, he's fine, like, and he's not looking to come in the room and anything. But he'll just tell her then at breakfast time, like, oh, the monster came into, like he'll call himself by his name.
Oh.
Yeah. And, yeah, and his mom was like, we don't know what it is, but I think they've had a family member that has, like, recently passed back home. So I don't know, but the mom and the dad are pretty, like, they're kind of freaked by it, like, a small bit.
Interesting.
And I'm like, can you see that, people? Or is it just something else? You know what I mean?
Yeah, is it, like, a combination of, like, recent, a load of shit's changing for him, so that's having a psychological effect on a small, small child.
Absolutely.
And, like, their religious beliefs as well, playing into it, like, that they're like, the devil is coming for him.
So, yeah, so I don't know, maybe he can, maybe he
either
can't.
Or, this the thing, could be any.
Could be anything.
And we won't know, no. Unless he gets, like, taken to the upside down or something.
Oh, Jesus Christ. God bless.
That is wild.
That's just my fun little tidbit for the week. I was like, that was great. Like, thanks for freaking both of me out, and
Your mother and father.
Yeah. Well done.
He's clearly succeeding at what he's doing.
I actually love this.
Someday he'll be a fantastic horror writer.
Oh, I wouldn't put it by him. He's very, like, he's very dramatic.
We love it.
I love him so much. He's gas, like, bless him. Are you hearing things?
What am I hearing? One of the fucking neighbours is angle grinding. I'm really going to, I'm just hoping and praying that you can't hear it in the fucking podcast.
Inconvenience, God bless.
Honestly, of all things, like, on a fucking Saturday afternoon, what are you doing? Angle grinding. Angle grinding.
That's the shit that you do between a Monday and a Wednesday. Strictly. Honestly, between the hours of 12 and 3.
No, see, they don't. They're all fucking nutters. They do it all on the Saturday because it's, you know, illegal to work on a Sunday.
But doing it fucking during the week, man.
Truly.
Christ, yeah. People like to relax during the weekends. Selfish.
There's some of us cunts that have to work the weekend, so leave us relaxed when we get home in the evening, you smelly bastard.
God forbid.
With your Monday to Friday fucking done by 4 o'clock job.
Arseholes.
Anyways. I have no news for this week. Oh, I am truly exhausted is the long and the short of it. I've just been working. There has been, like, other shit. I have had the odd day off, but realistically nothing of interest for this podcast, that's for sure. Went to a wedding. It was all right. Still wish I wasn't there. It was my only day off after 9 days. So, 9 straight days and a bank holiday and a Sunday inclusive.
Like, oh, my fucking Christ.
It was horrendous. It was horrendous.
I hate that.
It was a rough old goal. Listen, we're here now.
I was going to say, exactly, speaking of a rough old goal, shall we?
Yeah. Oh, God, we're going to be taking it rough on this one, that's for sure.
Yeah. I've tried to keep it somewhat humorous, one would say. But obviously,
bit of slagging, like.
Yeah, but it's still a bit shit.
Yeah.
And it's only going to continue to get worse. And
but we will do our best not to get angry about it, because if we get angry about it, then the podcast gets really depressing to listen
to. It does. It's so hard not to get riled up.
Genuinely. Like, some of these cunts, you wish you had the opportunity to smack them.
Yeah.
And after 3 years of doing this shit, it's like, mm.
Like a swift backhand.
Eventually, we should be allowed to at least smack one.
Oh my God. Just one. Imagine they did like a smack a serial killer day where you could just like that. You could go to your local jail, your local prison, federal or state. I don't fucking know. Then have like a lineup. Pimp slap the shit out of them. I think it'd be fantastic.
You have to like put in a request for your particular prisoner a couple of months before.
Mm-hmm. You know, have to like give a reason as for why also.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a quick little description box. Yeah.
It has to be valid.
Yeah. Kind of like a golden ticket in Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I think we should get the right to smack if he was still knocking about, even though he's not. But if he was still knocking about, would say, we would absolutely get first dibs on the pecan prince.
Don't say his name for a second time. One more time, we're going to summon the cunt. So, no more.
We can't Beetlejuice this bitch.
We're not Bloody Mary in this bitch. Absolutely not. No. We're cutting that.
But,
we're cutting it now.
That's who we would deserve to stop. Because we've been haunted by the scumbag.
So many times. So many times.
The fucking first heavy hitter we did on this haunted podcast. And we've been haunted since.
Arsehole.
We should have taken the sign when we got it. But listen, we're hearing consistently because of it since. So.
He can prick more you, like. I can't fucking stand him. Anyway, that's fine.
Moving forward, we're onto a different fucking candied prick this week, so.
For our fucking sins. Christ yep. alive.
Oh God, we did something to deserve this.
We did.
But without further ado, let's dive in. Splash.
Okay. So, our heavy hitter for the next, I'd say, 3 episodes. It might have to be a bit longer. I don't know because I don't know if it will be okay mentally to have to do so many murders in one episode and then so many murders in a second, like another episode and aftermath. I feel like this might need to be split just due to mental taxation.
There is actually a lot of
murder. There's a lot of murder.
But at the same time.
Do we want to be depressy though? This is what we're saying. I don't know, Sana. I'll leave it up to you because it won't be me.
I feel like, I mean, it's me who's got to deal with the slog of the fucking murders, right? So if I take them all in one episode, how many are we talking? I've done like 23 before.
Well, I've done, covered 3 in mine and there's 33 in total. So.
So it'd leave me with 30. So 7 more than my average. I mean, there's at least 10 that don't have information.
Possibly. Look, we'll cross that narrow bridge when we get over it. We might have to jump off and depend on how much we want to kill ourselves after eating this absolute tripe. But anyway.
We'll burn that bridge when we build it.
Exactly.
Yeah, we will see. We'll see how many episodes this takes. Realistically, 3 episodes and a 6-week break in between.
Oh, God bless.
No, we're not doing that.
No, we're not doing
that.
We're not even going to jinx it. Anyway, to get on to the vile cretin that we're going to be covering over God knows how many episodes is none other than the absolute fat bastard himself, John Wayne Gacy.
Fucking John Wayne Gacy.
Arsehole.
We had to get onto them eventually.
Eventually.
We've done our best. It's 3 years we've avoided the real fucking obvious cunts, but like we had to start doing them.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Do you remember when we were going to do it and then Netflix put out that fucking documentary and we're like, well, we're not doing it now. We're not doing it now.
Well, you know, because it looks like we're just copying fucking Netflix documentaries.
I know.
So we have to keep an eye on all the other big podcasts so it doesn't look like we're just ripping off their fucking content. It's a pain in the ass being a creator, is my point.
So anyway, this poor misfortune was pushed out on the 17th of March 1942 in Chicago, Illinois. And I'm actually very upset that he was pushed out on our national holiday. Like, I'm very upset by that. And I am taking it personal.
You should.
I am. St. Patrick's Day. What was I fucking saying? Jesus Christ.
St. Patrick's Day.
Guys, I was attempting to do an American accent. That's attempting to do an Irish accent. That's what I was going for.
You just went like French and then wrong Irish.
So, I don't know what
happened. Page.
Am I having a stroke? Maybe. But anyway. Oh my God. Also, right. The book that I was telling you about that I had read for this. A load of shit anyway. So, when I was reading this book, your one was like, he's a Pisces sharing an astrological sign with George Washington and Albert Einstein. Okay, girl, number one, no one actually cares.
Yeah, honestly.
No one gives a fuck. Like, why did you have to have that in it? But like, I know where they were coming from. like, oh, like, he could have been this man that accomplished great things because he shared an astrological sign with these fellow great men. It's just a pity, right? So, yeah, but see, the thing is, right, trying to compare John Wayne Gacy to these men, like, great that George Washington was America's first president, you know, well done, Bula Bus and all that.
Yeah, hats off
but,
to you.
He had wooden teeth and owned slaves. And then Mr. E equals MC fucking square himself was racist towards Chinese people. So it's like, what is your point? Because it's null and void, but that's none of my business. So it was very pointless having that in the book entirely. So that just set the tone. Agreed. For me reading the entire thing, right?
Fair.
Load of shite. But I felt like I had to mention that just to tell you specifically.
Have we ever given a fucking serial killer star sign?
No.
In an early life. Have we ever?
Never.
I can't think of knowing a single other one. Like, you get them on your fucking, you share, you know, you share a star sign with, and then it's like the top serial killers that you share your exactly. star sign with. But like, that's like, it's, lady, you were just trying to fucking join an already saturated market of shite is what. There's a ton of John Wayne Gacy books and this bitch was trying to get her fucking piece in. She was like, I'm going to write more words. Like, it's a fucking school essay.
Exactly. It was a load of shite. But anyway.
We're getting too vexed about the wrong things here. I'm very concerned going forward.
I know. So John had two sisters for whom he was quite close with. And he had an okay relationship with his mother, Marion. But the same couldn't be said for her daddy dearest, John Stanley. Who was a rage...
John Stanley,
oh, John Stanley. I know. A name. And not the most tragic name in this book. Or in this, not even in this book, just... In this fucking scenario in general.
Yes.
I didn't know what to call that then. I was really stressful.
The alternate universe that this happened. Yeah. Didn't happen in our reality.
Nope. So, like that, John Stanley was a raging alcoholic that started whipping the shit out of John with a leather belt when John was only 4. You know, to teach the manners and how to harden up.
Wahey! Serial killer tick number one. Accomplished.
First off the checklist. And John would spend nearly every day of his sad, miserable little life trying to win his father's approval. And he did this by every means necessary, like going out of his way. If his dad needed help with something, like fixing cars, John would try to help, but in turn would only like cock it up worse, which would in turn get him like an extra bait in off his dad. So it was really pointless, but he couldn't fucking help himself, could he, the chubby little prick? But anyway. So while John did have...
Please approve of me, daddy.
Oh, bless. He did have severe daddy issues. He didn't have that lone weirdo vibe that some of the other cretins that we usually cover have.
Mm-hmm.
So while he was slightly teased for being a chubby, awkward Boy Scout kid, he did have a few friends and he was actually quite popular in the Boy Scouts. And right. Very, very popular with the girls because he wasn't harassing like the rest of the little shitheads his age. Like, he wasn't grab-assing them as they were walking around the school hallway, like, you know.
Mm.
So they all kind of had good time for him. And he was
a gentleman.
He was mannered, like he was well-mannered.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, we'll keep him. He's nice.
We like him.
Yeah, we like him.
He's not going to kill us.
No. Well, they're right.
I mean,
they're very right. Yeah. They weren't to his taste, but my God. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, he won't kill you, but he won't fuck you either.
John would get bit almost daily. And naturally, his mother would try and protect him from the whippings of the belt. But this only riled John Sr. up to no end because he resented the fact that little John needed a woman to protect him, especially his mother. Like, he just didn't respect it. He was like, you should have taken these beatings. You needed to harden up. And he'd call
like
him
man.
Names such as, like, a mama's boy, a sissy, a queer, fruit picker. Everything
classics.
You could think of.
Fruit picker?
Yeah, see... I think this came... Now, this is just me turning the cogs in my tiny fucking brain. Right, they were right. Massively, massively religious, right? Are they taking fruit picking from the Bible as in, like, Eve and Adam are going to pick the fucking fruit off the tree? A sinner.
Oh, my God, sinner.
Being gay is a sin. All that kind of crap.
If you're not spot on, honestly, I'll be shook. Like, that
oh, my
is...
God, call me Miss Marple.
Honestly.
Angela
Lansbury.
If I'm right.
That is... Such a fucking shite way of calling someone a sinner.
Is that a fruit picker? Like, you have to decode this shit like the Da Vinci Code. Like, nobody has time for this.
Honestly. Are you fucking apple eater? The Garden of Eden reject.
Reject. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, when John was 9, he was molested by a family friend. And
Okay, quick question. Do you think I'll get sued if I use the achievement unlocked fucking noise from Xbox for every time they get a serial killer achievement?
No, I feel like you will be fine.
I'm going forward with it from now on.
Nice! Because we're about to tick off another one, so get it ready.
Nice! Double bonus points, man.
And to complete the serial killer trifecta, John went and got himself a tasty head injury at age 11.
Oh!
Stunning. So he was playing when a swing came down and twatted him in the head.
And he what?
Yeah, he was just fucking about in the garden and a swing came down and twatted him upside the head.
That...
But from... See, no, man, it sparked him out. And from this point until he was about 16, he would have, like, blackouts and seizures. Like, pure lapses in memories. Fits and all.
I'm sorry, I'm calling myself out as someone with pathetic seizures. But, like, that's fucking pathetic. You get a slap of a swing into the head. We have kerosene dreams out here doing just fine. And this cunt gets one thong
remember
from a fucking swing.
I got a clip of a train. Do you remember? The one that
that's
didn't
a
die.
Train, Lizzie.
Yeah, and they didn't die, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Oh, that's what you're saying. Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They took a whole train to the sconce and this fucker can't even take a fucking swing.
It's so sad.
Mary Bell got hopped out a window by her mother at birth.
You soft skull freak. Oh my God. A shame.
Be ashamed of yourself. I take the... can you get achievement fucking relocked like that? Minus one for you.
Oh, it's so
worst amazing. Head injury ever. Ugh.
But like,
was it enough to make him piss the bed?
No.
Oh.
And I'm sad because I thought it might have, because then with the whole his being beaten by his father thing, I really thought they would have went hand in hand and formed a beautiful relationship. Yeah,
absolutely.
But no.
Because then he pisses the bed and then his father beats him more. This is how the cycle continues.
Mm-mm.
Shocking.
No, it's breaking. Breaking the wheel a small bit here, but
yeah, it's like it's not breaking the mold, but it's when the mold gets a weird bubble in it. But you
can't quite iron it out
the forms anyway. Yeah, that's
but like it kind of worked out in his favor because obviously he was a lazy bastard and didn't want to do pee, and now because of the head injury, he didn't have to do it anymore. It was kind of a win-win.
I'm not I kind of respect that at the same time. Yeah, it's I don't want to be giving him credit, but like I respect that because same.
Like I understand.
Pulled the same shit. As soon as I got a chronic illness, I was like, I can't do PE.
But you know what? And you're dead
fucking
right.
Use these things to benefit you. But look, listen, that's about all the credit he's going to get in this whole episode.
Oh, absolutely.
So
it's going downhill from here.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't do any sports in school, and coupled that with the fact that he was a massive lake arse, he used to give the school's truancy officer, like, you know, the people that would go around and like chase up after kids' attendance, uh-huh, like why they weren't in school, all that kind of crap. He would do the work with this truancy officer and run errands for the teacher. So if something needed bringing down the hallway, if they wanted water from the canteen, he'd be like, yes. Oh my God. Do you know exactly who he's like?
Randall from fucking...
Recess. So then I was about to, say the same thing, and they have the same posture and all. Like,
oh my God, no, not the scoliosis back. Irreversible at this point.
Oh my God. They're the same.
Yeah.
They're the fucking...
What a little fucking snot. How did he have any friends?
Sorry. Very
You're
surprised.
Literally a fucking rat
very
for a living, like.
Honestly, I don't understand. But in 1960, a draw on... Oh my God, I got so tired reading his name there. I'm just sick of him and his shit already. I had to take like a dive.
I'm just this cunt again.
Fucking sick, oh my God. Anyway.
We're just going to call him Randall from now on. That just make it easier for yourself.
So Randall drops out of high school because he was just sick to the back teeth of his home life. Was sick of his father beating him. Was desperate for change. So he up and left for Las Vegas, Nevada, where he had a cousin that lived there. And he was like, right, okay, I'm going to move over here. And
become
I'm going to
a
find
show girl.
Right? And he did end up finding work, but was in the city's ambulance service before he was eventually transferred to work as an attendant at Palm Mortuary as a mortuary assistant. And
solid.
Solid
safe
choice.
That's perfect. I see no issues here.
No, none at all.
I see no problematic things that could arise.
No, not especially given the fact that he slept in the mortuary and all, behind the embalming room, no less.
I bet he smelled delightful.
Oh, positively chemical. Delicious.
Lily's pissing formaldehyde. Oh, we found the episode title.
There we go.
Fucking winner, winner.
So he worked there for 3 months, observing morticians embalming dead bodies and occasionally serving as a pallbearer. And John would often spend hours in the mortuary, unsupervised, by the way, particularly in the reposing rooms where he spent a lot of time having one-way conversations with people, you know, that could no longer talk back. So very fun, very fresh.
As fresh as a corpse can get, but anyway.
And as if that wasn't strange enough, John got into the awful habit of wearing the deceased's burial clothes. So, like, if he liked the look of a suit or a cashmere jumper that some poor dead unfortunate fucker was wearing, sure, wouldn't he strip them down and then parade around in the clothes himself? And sometimes doing little characters, like just little skits.
Not then, using it as a whole fucking costume change in his own private show, like.
Yeah, away from prying eyes. And then he'd quickly put the formaldehyde smelling clothes back on the formaldehyde filled bodies and go about the rest of his spooky business. But things only continued to get, we'll say, more concerning. Because it was at this mortuary that there was a moment, one could say, set off a fascination of sorts. So one night, while John was working in the embalming room, yet again unsupervised, he saw the body of a 16-year-old, and John, like the massive freak he was, slowly walked over to the boy's body and began to cradle it. Now, while he has denied defiling any of the corpses in Palm Mortuary, it is widely speculated that he did engage in some act of necrophilia, and I will my whole chest firmly believe that as well.
I mean, you're cradling
a dead kid.
That you didn't even know.
No.
It's a stranger.
But do you know
I'm
what?
I'm not going to cradle a stranger's living kid.
Do you know what I pictured when I read this? And this is very, very, very specific. Are you familiar with that girl on TikTok who gets people to hold her phone and then she walks backwards towards people that are like have their back to her? And then she drops on all fours and like runs at them. That her, right? She's hilarious. I love her so much. I'm picture him doing that in the mortuary when he's creeping up on these dead bodies. And it's terrifying. And I will have a nightmare about this later on tonight. But he's huffing and snuffing like a fat little fucking pig over this poor child. I know he is.
Yeah, like just scoops him up like a fucking orangutan baby. Yeah. You know, they just grab their kids.
He's definitely fondling it. And I'm sorry, he definitely gave a little bit of kiss on the lips. Has to have. I'm telling you.
There was some intimacy. I don't care. Like, you don't start cradling some shit unless you're planning on doing more with it.
Ooh, like, oh my god. Oh my god, the way my arse just clenched. Like, they just made me so
not
sick.
This guy, anyway.
It's so disgusting. Oh no,
we know who he is. Yeah, we know who we're talking about. I mean, you shouldn't be just cradling strange dead bodies anyway, no, but like,
that's obviously concerning. But
yeah.
Especially when all of his victims were exactly like this poor child.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So, the little incident with the teenager's corpse had John, we'll say, shook. Because he realised...
How old is he at this point again, just to clarify?
Mm-hmm.
How old is he?
Oh, so he dropped out of high school, so he's roughly 18. In and around.
Okay.
Because he didn't graduate high school, like, I think he was just short of it.
Right.
But, yeah, so he was still a teenager himself.
Yeah. Okay.
Because he was only here for 3 months. See, he had realised that he liked this way more than he should. In fact, he shouldn't like it at all. So he ended up calling his mum and asked him, you know, can I come back home after me running away? She obviously agrees, and obviously it took a while for John Senior to come around to the idea, because obviously he couldn't stand little John. But, you know, bygones be bygones and all that. And he's like, right,
okay. He's our son, I guess.
He can come back, I suppose. I can still beat him when he does get here, so that's fine.
It's got kind of boring beating you anyway, yeah. Polly, whatever her name was.
So John moves back to Chicago and he ends up lying his way into securing a spot in the Northwestern Business School, despite having no high school diploma. So I don't know how he blackguarded his way into getting into a college, but he did.
It's just easier to lie about how good you were back then.
Oh, so much easier. I can understand how people got away with horrific shit.
Oh, honestly. Fucking never went to school once and they're working their way into Fortune 500 companies.
Honestly, you make it make sense. So in March of 1963... after he had graduated from business school, he married his first wife, Marilyn Myers, who he met while working at...
We love to hear first wife.
Mm-hmm. Who he had met while working at the Nunnbush Shoe Company. And they both relocated to Iowa, to Waterloo. And as a wedding present, Marilyn's dad bought him 3 KFC restaurants, so Kentucky Fried Chicken, in Iowa for John to manage. And apparently he actually did a cracking job at managing 3 KFCs, but what have you.
Would someone like to gift me a chain of restaurants for my wedding? Like,
I know,
fuck?
What the fuck?
Imagine just getting gifted a chain. Oh,
and man was raking it in.
Things were fucking very well to do then.
And of that same year, John joined the United States Junior Chamber, or more easily known as the JC Club, right? So it was kind of like a leadership JC. Training service / organization, right? For like civic organization. For people that were aged between like 18 to 40. He became a very like prominent figure in the community because only select people were in this club, and coupled up with the fact that he's a well-paying job, he lives in a nice area, he has a wife, he now suddenly has fucking 2 kids, like a good family man, right? So, but he thought he had more of a name for himself than he did. And that's going to kind of play in later. So anyway, just basically how he sees his importance to everybody is what we'll say. Mm.
So yeah, I think we all know one or two people like that.
Mm-hmm. So like this club is basically a load of wank. Like the only organising John ever did was sorting out which young lads he was selecting to invite over for meetings. And by meetings, this involved drinking and watching pornos. But anyway, it's not my business.
Could never imagine just sitting down and watching porn with somebody ever. It's so weird. Just seems like such a bizarre thing
to do. It's so weird. But I feel like back in the day, because it's not readily available like it is now. And like, oh my God, someone has a dirty video or someone has a dirty magazine.
I suppose that's true. It's the thing. That is true. Like, it's so weird. More special to be like, this guy has titties.
Yeah, exactly. But it's still weird. But it's still definitely weird. Less weird back then.
Back then, yeah. Agreed, but still.
When he's in this club, John makes himself a special friend. And by special friend, I mean, so there was this young lad, right? And him and the young lad would be having conversations about like, oh, do you know, like sometimes it's just so hard to get girls. Like, I don't know really how to talk to them and all of this. And basically the conversation came down to, you know, you can't really tell if you're getting a blowjob if it's by a girl or a boy. Like, it's all the same. And John Wayne Gacy was like, huh, really? Shall we test this hypothesis and talk about the conclusion afterwards? And this young lad was like, yeah, bet. So,
how young a young lad are we talking here?
I don't know. It wasn't specified. Only the fact that he was a young man. But of course, back then, teenagers were also referred to as a young man.
Young men.
So,
yeah.
Who knows?
So he could have been like anywhere from 15.
Yeah.
Presumably.
Presumably.
All right.
Yeah, so this is when John got his first ever blowjob off a boy, and he was 10 out of 10, so fucking happy for himself. Which would be fine, which is totally normal, totally fine. Only the fact that it probably came from a child, but anyway.
Mm-hmm. We just...
We'll, you know...
Skirt over that, I guess.
Skirt over a small bit, but like I was saying, so... Do you remember I said that his family were very religious? And this is where my whole thing with freaking thing came out. Anyway.
Yes.
So where... He was in this JC club. He was also in other JC clubs, like the Jesus Christ clubs, as in a lot of religious clubs, we'll say.
Yeah.
It's like that, extremely religious, and followed the path of many priests and clergymen. And by this, I mean the path of sodomy, as he caught himself a sodomy charge after he assaulted a 15-year-old by name Donald Voorhees, the son of a fellow JC member in 1968. So he's making... True to the
Wait,
word.
Which JC? JC Jesus Christ or JC the other one?
No, not the OG JC, as in like the leadership JC.
Right, yeah. Okay. So yeah. Just so we know which JC club we're talking about.
No, not of the religious kind, the other one.
Yeah, because I mean, you don't want to be encroaching on your priest territory if you're going to be diddling in the church. I mean, if you feel like there's a
like that spot's already been taken by the priest himself.
100%.
So,
yeah.
Find another garden to piss in, man. So, that's it. And he did. After the assault occurred, Donald immediately went and told his father what had happened, and the police were called. And when John was arrested, he had the gall to loudly demand, did they know who he was? Did they also know that the police commissioner was in his phone book? And that he should be given a polygraph test? And so the police were like, okay, a polygraph test you want, a polygraph test you shall get.
Stupid fuck.
And could you guess, did he pass or did he fail?
I'm going to presume he failed.
Oh, miserably, Savannah, bang on. Like, miserably.
comfortably.
Because for a hot minute I was like, this jammy cunt probably passed. But then I thought, no.
No.
Because this sweaty little fat bastard would not be able to control his nerves.
No, he wouldn't.
Like, he's not.
Man, he sweat like a fat pig on a normally.
Exactly. Exactly. His heart rate.
From all the KFC that he was, like, definitely scarfing. Just pissing through his pores. Like, he was, oh, he was definitely fucking disgusting. Anyway, but none of my business. So,
resting heart rate of 200 from the amount of cholesterol. Like.
And I'm usually, honestly, I'm not one to body shame. But there's no. times and there's places where I will
this
happily
big fat fuck of a serial partake. Killer.
Yeah, absolutely. So John, like, racked his blunt force trauma brain. And he was like, I need to come up with a great idea to get out of the mess I have created for myself. I was like, ha! I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to hire a teenage boy to beat the shit out of Donald and force him to retract his statement.
Fabulous plan.
Great plan. And so, like that, poor Donald ended up getting his head kicked in, God bless him. After his beating, he was like, I'm not going to let these threats scare me when I've already been fucking assaulted.
Yes,
Donald. Fucking arsehole. I'm going to go to the police again. And so he does, and he goes and he files a report that he's just been physically assaulted. And like, he knows who this kid is. Like, he just wasn't some rando that he doesn't know.
My God.
It's a small suburb. Everybody knows everyone.
At least go fuck it out with town a bit, like.
Honestly, broaden your horizons, man. But the police go and pick up this young lad, and he wasn't shy about telling them what the story was. He was like, well, yeah, John told me he'd give me $50 if I went and kicked the heart and fucking soul out of Donald.
And obviously I wanted 50 quid.
Yeah. What am I to do?
Yeah. So, is that a crime, man?
Mm-hmm. So after his arrest, the police got him mentally assessed because they were like, right, okay. One, he's after sexually assaulting somebody. And by sexual assault, I mean because I never said it, he forced Donald to give him a blowjob.
Oh.
And this is kind of a running theme of what he does, right? He's also paid another boy a considerable amount of money because like $50 at the time is a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That would have went a long way, especially for a young lad,
yeah. To go and beat the shit out of his victim. So there's clearly something not right upstairs. Like, there's chains rattling in the fucking attic and there's screams coming from up there. So like, okay, we need to get him checked out.
Yeah, most definitely.
Most definitely. So he gets diagnosed with antisocial personality disorder, but he was still deemed fit to stand trial. But the doctors who completed John's evaluation pretty much said that, look, he's going to continue to be a problem for society. He's never going to fit in. He's always going to, like, basically wreak havoc wherever he goes. Pretty much, like, it's going to be a copy and paste situation. Like, it's always going to be for, like, a sexual-based crime. Like, they never thought he would, you know, turn from one thing to the other. Like, turn from, like, a sexual crime to, like, fraud or, like, getting into drugs, anything like that.
Arson.
Yeah, yeah, nothing. Like, they always said he was going to be a fucking predator, basically. And John was found guilty of the assault and sentenced to 10 years in jail. His wife, Marilyn, filed for divorce that same day. And neither her or his two kids ever saw him again. So, lovely for her. She got away.
Good job.
John's a model prisoner. Okay, he ends up working his way up to becoming head cook in the kitchen. So, he'd have to be on his best fucking behaviour to be put into that kind of a job. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
And he also helped the prisoners recondition toys for poor kids, the whole lot. So ever the fucking saviour.
What a saint.
Making toys for kids that he definitely wanted to diddle himself, you dirty fucking paedophile, but we're going to skip over that anyway. He would also brag to the other prisoners about this, like, really lush restaurant, not a KFC, mind you, that he was going to open up once he was released. And, like, that they believed him because he was very well spoken and he always made sure he was seen reading the Wall Street Journal at any opportunity that he could, because he wanted to look like he was like this blue collar man, very respected. You know, he had a wife and just things went a bit wrong for him. So like, the fellow inmates did know that he was in there for a sexual based crime, but he had told them that his crime was shown to teenage girls, like underage teenage girls, pornography. And their parents found out. It was a whole thing, and that's why he was in jail. So not the fact that he was forcing young boys to do fucking, anyway. And fellow inmates also said that he had, like, actively avoided any of, like, the gay inmates in there and would often made, like, wildly homophobic comments and remarks about them. And so, like, they wouldn't have thought
that he was gay as well.
Yeah. Like, he wasn't masking anything, but, you know. While John's in prison, his dad dies on Christmas in 1969 from sclerosis of the liver, like a true alcoholic.
once his father had died, like, something had snapped in John. Because his whole life he had spent trying to win his dad's approval. And when he married Marilyn and had his kids, it was the first time his dad was like, I'm so proud of you. I take back everything I've ever said. Any of the cruel remarks I've ever made. You know, so obviously John being fucking delighted. But obviously when John Sr. had heard about John Wayne's assault on Donald, sure, as far as he was concerned, he no longer had a son. And everything that he had called him, considering it was assault on a young boy, well, sure, there you go.
Wasn't he right?
But John still felt that he had to fight to get his dad's approval and praise again. It was like a sickness thing. Like, his dad was just this overwhelming presence in his fucking life. Like, he was so suffocated by him, but still felt like that he had to, like, appease him all the time. But once his father died, sure, he was free of all of that. So let's say this is when he starts wilding out. Right. So John only ended up serving 18 months out of a fucking 10 years.
How the fuck?
It doesn't make sense. It was just, he was so well behaved in prison. He was doing so many extracurricular activities, like fucking doing the shit with the kids' toys. He helped do a mini golf fucking course thing in the prison. Wild shit. Was also doing his like fucking JC club hours within the prison. So that was just like all of these hours of like community based work kept on adding up and adding up and adding up. And I think at the time there was like also like overcrowding. So for being put in prison for sodomizing a young lad, it just wasn't seen as something that like, okay, he should be kept in here. Let's make room for psychopaths, we'll say. Even though that's exactly what he fucking was.
So that is unbelievable.
Like. So fucking stupid. But upon John's release in the summer of 1970, he got a job working at a restaurant thanks to all the kitchen work he'd done in the prison. In Chicago, that was a popular amongst the professional hockey team, the Blackhawks. So I think ice hockey's fucking crazy popular in Chicago. So the fact that these lads were eating at the place that he worked at, it was like such a big deal. So like John himself wasn't necessarily interested in sports, but he was very much interested in boosting his ego by telling anybody that would listen that he gets to rub shoulders with all like these professional athletes.
You know what I mean? He's interested in the clout.
For sure. And John's mother was so happy seeing that he was settling well back into society, and she's like, okay, he needs a place of his own now. He's been cooped up in that tiny cell for 18 months, even though he did sexually assault a child. But anyway,
we'll skirt over that.
So John's mother and his sisters helped him procure 8213 West Somerdale Avenue in an area of Norwood Park Township. So it was a cushy little suburb that was known to be safe with low crime and a great place to raise a family, because it was a predominantly East European area. So, you know, racist. They were all white. So they're like, this is safe.
Yeah.
Nothing awful's going to happen in our doorstep. Fucking serves
you. There's nothing less violent than the Eastern Europeans.
Honestly? What are they talking about? You know what I mean?
Genuinely. Again, not all. Can't be painting all the brushes. But like, I don't hear Eastern Europeans and think, safe.
Very comfy, placid people.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Super chill. Never drink.
They don't like a good scrap.
Yeah, not at all.
Not at all.
Good, clean, Jesus-loving people.
Always space between your fist and Jesus Christ before you fucking deck someone. But anyway. So on February 2nd, 1971, John went to strike again. And by strike again, I mean diddle and fiddle his way through another teenage boy. So he ended up picking up this young lad at a Greyhound bus stop, promising him a lift. And this young lad just so happened to be like openly gay. And I feel like this was kind of not used against him, but people kind of frowned upon him a tiny bit for this. Like, I think he got a bit of shit for it afterwards, but anyway.
What, as in people are saying it was his own fault because he was openly gay?
Arseholes. So the kid, so basically John was like, right, okay, I'll give you a lift. Kid gets into the car. John tries to force the young lad to give him a blowjob, right? Kid escapes, goes to the police and tells him, look, this is what's after happening. But when the court date rolled around, this kid failed to show up in court, right? And he was never seen again. And since there was no one to testify, these charges were dropped. So it's speculated that like he might actually be John's first victim. Like, did John go and like find him?
And take him out.
And take him out, because then he's just going, like, he's going straight back to prison, like, if he gets found guilty on this, and he's not going to get out.
100%, so, yeah.
You know, so
he did have a lot in the line, like.
John's neighbours didn't learn about the recent arrest. They didn't even know he was in prison previously either. Because I don't think there was that thing back in the day where, like, if a person, like, that was found guilty of a certain crime had to announce what they were when they moved into a new area. You know, they didn't have to go knocking on people's door.
Hi,
like,
I'm John and I'm a paedophile.
Yeah, they didn't have to do that shit, right? So nobody kind of knew. But also, where I've lost my place again. Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, here we are. No, I didn't. I know, I did. So, I'm all over the place, my Christ. So, like that, the neighbours didn't find out, but neither did the Iowa Board of Parole. So, they were completely unaware that John had been accused of a sex offence in Chicago. And they were very much under the impression that he was adjusting well to his new freedom. Because there was just no communication.
About someone that there should be communicating about.
Yeah, like, exactly. So
he's
even
literally
though,
on parole.
Even though the trial couldn't go ahead because the young lad had failed to show up because he might, you know, possibly be fucking dead. It was just scrapped. Like, it was thrown out. Like, there was no back and forth to be like, okay, by the way, just a heads up. Your man is up for possibly assaulting some young lad. Just so you know.
Again.
None of that. Yeah, again. But there was none of that. So as of October the 18th, 1971, he was officially free from parole. So he didn't have to be as careful anymore. Like, he didn't have to kind of, you know,
watch
creep around. Exactly.
Yeah. Try not to get caught for any more crimes. He could just willy-nilly commit them.
Mm-hmm. So in 1971, John started a construction company business called PDM Contractors, which grew rapidly and it actually became fairly successful. Like, he had a lot of money put into it. And he basically hired a lot of high schoolers and young men that probably the oldest of them were like 21. And he obviously wouldn't pay them as well as if he had to pay like actual skilled labourers and, you know, not children. Anyway. So of that same year, John had reconnected with an old high school girlfriend called Carol Hoff. You know, his beard, God bless him. The pair, they quickly became engaged and by 1972 they were married. And to know, like, a lot of the high school students and young men I said that he employed, well, he would proposition them for sex, like, pretty much all the time, would try jump them some of the times and would threaten them quite a lot to be like, well, if you don't do this, either one, I'm going to fucking kill you. I'm not going to pay your money. I'm going to tell everyone you're gay. And God forbid, do you know, probably one of the worst things you could have said to a young lad back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, John maintained his new image as a hardworking, God-fearing, traditional man. So he would host like fabulous summer parties with all the neighbours, like barbecue and all that kind of shit. They were very popular, well attended. And everyone was fail or falling for this big show that he was putting on. And like, John could play a house all he wanted, but it didn't distract away from the fact that he was a pustulant fucking pig who was rotten to his very core. And on January 2nd, 1972, 16-year-old Timothy McCoy was returning from visiting family for Christmas and he was waiting at the Chicago Greyhound bus station for his 13-hour layover. Right, Chicago, it's freezing fucking cold. I think Chicago gets like some of the worst like winter weather like in America. I don't know if that's right, but I feel like they'll get hit with like horrific like snowstorms. It's icy, it's fucking freezing. And it's a bus station. What cover have you got there? You know?
Fucking none.
None.
You'd be lucky if there's literally a bit of a shelter above the seats.
Exactly.
Because it's not always there.
So John had approached Timothy and offered him a warm place to kind of hang out just for a couple of hours while he was waiting for his connecting bus. Like that, Tim agrees. Sure. What's the harm? So the pair, they drove around for a bit just chatting and getting to know each other before they both went back to John's home. Because John was like, oh yeah, I just want to get to know you before we go back to my home. Because I don't know you, like, no offence, but you could be a weirdo. You, 16-year-old Timothy McCoy, you could be the weirdo.
Yeah. Not me, the grown man driving around asking you if you want to lift around for no reason.
So they ate some food and drank some beers. And according to John, the pair had consensual sex. According to him. And then they went to sleep. So why would he go to sleep if he had to catch a bus? But anyway, and go back to his family as a 16-year-old child. Anyway, we're going to move. So John says that he woke up at 4 a.m. to Timothy standing over him with a knife. Why would Timothy do that if he wasn't assaulted?
Facts.
Anyway.
What purpose does he have?
Exactly. According to John, Timothy fucking kicks him in the stomach. John's like doubled over. Like, he's kind of winded him a small bit, but John's able to recover a bit quickly. He grabs Timothy by the back of the head, smashes his face off a wall, and just tells him he's going to fucking kill him.
The two of them start fighting for the knife. Unfortunately, John gets in control of the knife, pushes Tim to the ground, leans on top of him, stabs him to death.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like what happened.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Timothy's body would be the first among countless others that would be buried in his crawl space. But the 18... Oh, God, I actually... I'm losing the will to live already. I need to start that sentence again. I hate this man. So, do not fuck it. He's not the first and he won't be the fucking last for a long time, basically. And Timothy's family wouldn't find out what happened to him for like 14 years after he had went missing because like they were waiting for him to come back and he never did. So they were just assuming that, I don't know, did he get a spur of the moment? I'm going to run away type situation. I'm going to be out on my own now. Mobile phones were the thing. They couldn't exactly write him because he had no address. His address was home. So they had no clue.
Crazy, like.
Anyway. In 1973,
14 fucking years.
John and a teenage employee travelled to Florida to view a property that he had recently purchased. On the first night in Florida, John raped this young employee in their hotel room. And after they returned to Chicago, this young employee basically drove to John's house and kicked the fucking shit out of him in front of his own front yard. In front of all the neighbours, this young girl absolutely malleted him. Right
job.
Oh yeah, no, he kicked the heart and soul of him, so he did. And John just told his wife and all the neighbours that he had been attacked for refusing to pay him for what was poor quality painting work. So they were like, oh. He was definitely from the wrong area of town. I'm very sorry about that this happened to you, John. It's so sad. You're so good for employing these poor boys that so desperately need money. Arsehole.
That's why you don't employ the riffraff, John.
In 1974, John's marriage, right, begins to break down. It's only a matter of time, anyway. So he would...
Truly.
So I forgot to mention, but Carl had two children from a previous marriage, right?
Right.
And so these, like, the young ones would be in the house, like, all the time. Like, they were exclusively with Carl and John. Like, they weren't ever with their dad. He just started bringing home pictures of, like, naked men and, like, porno magazines and just actively leaving them in plain sight where the kids could see it. You know, so, like, they started to fight a lot and... He basically ended up opening up to her like, you know, I do prefer the company of men. Like, I'm bi. God forbid he was, you know, fully gay, even though, you know, whatever. And so him and Carol would just fight so much because she was like, can you not fucking leave that around the house? I don't care that you like men. And by men, you know, adolescent teenage boys. Like, I'm sure she didn't know that detail. Like, he told her that they were men, but, you know. She didn't care.
Yeah, obviously it wouldn't have been kiddie porn that he was leaving around.
Yeah, like she didn't care about the magazine. She's like, you do you. We just don't do it in front of the fucking kids.
Which is totally valid, like.
Totally valid. Totally valid. But because they were fighting a lot, like, he started, I don't know, you'd say, he'd get a lot more testy. Like, he definitely seemed to have inherited his father's nasty temper because he'd fly into, like, a quick rage if they were having, a normal argument about something, but he would like break furniture, like smash marble worktops, all of this mad shit, right? And Carl said like he never actually hit her, but she was always worried that like it's not normal, the look of rage that he had in his eyes, and if she's not getting it, who is? Because she knew that this shit wasn't being like self-contained, like he was calming down. Yeah, no, she knew he wasn't. And sometime in January 1974, John would murder his second victim. So the boys, or name and age, are both unknown, only that he was more than likely aged between 14 and 18. John had strangled the boy after forcing him to commit a sexual act, and he put the boy's body in a wardrobe before he could be buried. However, the body, do you know, after a while, bodies just start to leak.
Yes.
Yeah. That's basically what ended up happening, and he didn't account for this, so... He left the young lad in the wardrobe for a couple of days, and when he kind of came back, he just seen all of this bodily fluid on the carpet. But sure, if like Carol had come down into this wardrobe that was like in the garage or in the basement, wherever the fuck it was, she would have seen this all over the fucking floor.
And then gone to trace the fucking source of it, like.
Exactly. So from this point on, John would shove rags or sometimes his victims' underwear in their mouth before he buried them, just to ensure that this never happened again, because... Like that, before he shoved them in the crawl space or before he put them in the walls or underneath the fucking floor, Carol was living in the house, obviously with her girl, so he had to make sure she was out of the house before he could do all of this fucking mass construction. So he would have to hold them up in a wardrobe or wherever for a couple of days.
So he's just plugging up their holes so that they don't leak.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And a foul stench hung over the Gacy household.
However, John would dismiss it as a minor problem and said, "Oh, sure, it's because, you know, that fucking crawl space, it's awful damp. It's so dark. It's just definitely coming from there. It's not a major concern. I'll fix it. Not a problem." But like, Carol basically, she started complaining about it a bit too much. She was talking about it to the neighbours, and you're like, oh, do you know, just as you would be like, Jesus fucking Christ, yeah, there's a god-awful smell in my house and I can't get rid of it. And she thought John being a contractor, I don't know, it'd be easy for him to like sort out.
Mm-hmm.
And after her complaining it, you know, about it to a few of her neighbour girlies, and the neighbour girlies complaining about it to their husband, they were like, yeah, John, like, now that it's, you know, been mentioned, it, your house does kind of have a weird fucking decomposing smell. Anyway.
Gee, John, why is it that your house smells like death?
Riddle me that, John. So his solution to this was just to haul in a mass amount of quicklime and then dusted his hands. That's that problem avoided. So when Carol, one day, right, she walked outside the house and found a large mound of dirt piled at the rear end of the garden. And she was like, he's hardly digging more into the crawl space to make it bigger. Surely not. And he was like, nah, sure, I'm only filling it in to get rid of the smell. And she's like, ah, yeah, right. Makes sense. But the funny thing was, he'd have to keep on digging. So there was just always dirt just lying around. I was like, well, hon, if you filled it up, the smell is still there. Where's the dirt coming from? But she just never, she just never put two and two together. God bless. Anyway, just to investigate at least.
Honestly, like, how do you just be accepting these things?
Honestly. Especially when one day she finding like a billfold, right, with identification cards belonging to a young boy. And she found this in his car. And she was like, you know, John, what's this? He flew into a massive fit of fucking rage, which the likes that she has never seen. By more windows were getting smashed. Marble countertop has been fucking made absolute hames of. Chairs, everything. He was a fucking lunatic. And she basically learned from this point on that she was to never ask again. Through the countless times she had found billfolds that contained ID belonging to young men. So it happened on more than one occasion.
At what point are you like not held responsible? I understand he gave probably fucking... Actually, no, because she wasn't even getting beaten. So like...
But like the thing is, he knew her from high school, right?
Mm.
People back in town would have known that he was sent to prison. Whether the neighbours knew it or not, she surely fucking did.
Right.
People talk.
Right, exactly.
So if your husband was put away for doing a crime and then all of a sudden you're finding lanyards and ID cards belonging to young boys out of nowhere and he's getting so uncontrollably angry at the fact that you have found them, what is that telling you?
What part of the math is not mathing for you?
Why are you putting two and two together, love, and not getting four? This is what I fail to understand.
Yeah.
But, the car that she found the first ID card in, right?
Mm.
He had this rigged up with a red siren light and a radio scanner. You won't even guess if I ask you, so I'm just going to tell you what it's for. So he would basically parade around in this absolute shitmobile, turn on the sirens and pull over young lads on the side of the road pretending to be a police officer and basically force them to give him a blowjob on the side of the road, otherwise he would arrest them. Obviously they were none the wiser, didn't realise that, you know,
wasn't a cop at all.
And they weren't going to go to the police because obviously, sure, he's a fellow policeman, they won't believe me.
Yeah.
And he did this countless times.
Jesus fucking
countless Christ. Times. And in 1975, John lost another wife to divorce. Carol basically had enough of his shit. She's like, I'm done, I'm finished. But weirdly, she stayed living in the house for like another couple of months, maybe even like a year. So like, they were divorced, but they lived separately in the house.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So he still had to be a bit careful about when he was like, you know, disposing of his other victims. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But while he lost a wife, he gained an alter ego. So Pogo the Clown now makes an appearance. So much to his dismay, John was just getting a bit too old and grey for his little JC club. And he became aware of a Jolly Joker clown club, whose members regularly performed at fundraising events, parades, in addition to voluntarily entertaining hospitalised children. You sick fuck. Going and entertaining children when you're actively fucking murdering them, you piece of shit.
Honest to God. Honest to fucking Christ. Like.
So in late 1975, John joined the clown club and created his own clown characters. So he had Patches the Clown and Pogo the Clown. So Patches was a much more serious character. While Pogo was meant to be this very happy-go-lucky fun clown, and this is one that he would show to them.
The fact that he had, like, the drama masks of clown characters.
You know
that,
what,
like,
I mean?
He needs a happy and a sad clown.
Yeah.
Like.
Which is weird because anytime he does his little fucking clown tricks to, like, his eventual thingies, I think it was all, like, Pogo-esque. Even though Patches was meant to be the bastard. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm fully sure it was all Pogo.
It was all Pogo. But we'll skip over that. You know, the inconsistency.
We'll ignore the logic.
Mm. So, 15-year-old Anthony Antonucci. Anthony Antonucci. Stunning. Stunning
this
name.
This kid gets killed, so I don't want to say your parents didn't like you, but man, why did your parents not like you?
Well, no,
like,
he was fine. You can slag Anthony all you want.
Okay. Anthony Antonucci. Anthony Antonella Antonucci. The fuck kind of a name?
Oh, bless. It's the, like, literally the same five letters of his first and last name, and they've just fucking thrown out
horrendous.
The rest. They've just thrown in, sorry, a little remix.
Almost as bad as fucking David Davidson from whatever fucking,
oh my God, don't upset
documentary
me.
I watched the other
do
night.
Do not upset me with that.
What was that about?
I don't know, but it's a horrific name. Is it being called John
I
Johnson?
I will find out.
Ridiculous.
Genuinely. David Davidson.
So he was employed by John in May 1975. And John had made a pass at Anthony before, right? I tried to grab ass him one too many times and Anthony was like, step the fuck back. 2 months into Anthony working for John, he ended up hurting himself on site. So he was laid up at home. And John was like, oh, I'm going to do the right thing as his employer of this 15-year-old child. I'm going to go check in on him when his parents are out of town. And with me, I'm going to bring a bottle of wine and a porno. So, you know, very responsible.
That's perfect. All we're short is fucking Chris Hansen.
Mm-hmm. Take a seat. So. That was so dumb. Oh, my God.
But perfect.
So after, like, you know, they've been watching the film, a couple of glasses of wine have been passed, John cracks out the handcuffs, wrestles Anthony to the ground, like, that handcuffs him behind his back, and he leaves to go out into the kitchen for whatever fucking reason. And while John was out of the room, Anthony released his arm from the handcuffs. Now, Anthony was a champion high school wrestler, right?
Yes.
And
shit name, great kid.
Great kid. And as soon as John entered into the room with her, Anthony just went on full attack mode, right? And without any hassle really at all, because John was fucking bamboozled, he wrestled John to the ground, got his hands and the handcuff key, was able to, like, unlock himself fully, had John pinned to the ground while he was, like, doing all his fucking unlocking and shit, like fucking Harry Houdini, put John's hands behind his back and handcuffed him. And
ledge.
Oh, honestly, cracking good. So initially, John was shouting and bawling, you know, yelling at Anthony that he's going to kill him. And Anthony was like, funny thing, pal, you're actually the one lying on my sitting room floor handcuffed right now. I don't know what the fuck you think you're doing because you can't get up. Anyway.
What are you arguing here, John?
Because, like, while he was handcuffed, like, Anthony had him pinned to the fucking ground, like, his knee on his back while John was, like, pressed into the fucking floor. So, like, he wasn't going anywhere. So, like, calm down. But after a while, he calmed down and he promised Anthony that, look, if you let me go, I swear I'll leave. And Anthony was very confident in showing himself, like, you're not going to get the jump on me again. I would fucking murk you this time around if you so much as dare try anything. And so, like that, Anthony agreed and John left. And John had told him, like, when they went into work the following day, because Anthony, like a lunatic, continued working for John for, like, 9 more months.
What the
after
fuck?
After this. I don't know. He's only 15. He's a young lad. Anyway, John had told him, not only are you the only one who got out of handcuffs, you're the only one to get me in them. And, like, it's alluding to the fact that he's done this multiple times. You know. And, like that, he kind of kept true to his word and he left Anthony well the fuck alone. Like, while Anthony continued to work for him, never bothered him again. Paid him his fair wage, never looked at him sideways. And when Anthony left, it was like, okay, good luck, see you later. He knew Anthony would rock his shit if he ever fucking dared again, but, you know.
Fair, like, but I also feel like he kind of, like, earned his respect.
Oh, yeah, the fact, like, that he got him in the handcuffs. Massive, absolutely.
So he's like, this right here, this is my G. Like, I'm not going to touch him. He's my fucking dude. He's the only one who's ever gotten one up on me, so he's special.
Yeah, he can live.
Sack. Fucking sack. I mean, obviously, Anthony deserves the respect.
Absolutely.
He deserves all of the respect, but, like, fuck him. At the same, like, not Anthony, fuck John.
Oh, yeah, massively.
Anyways.
On July 31st, 1975, John's employee, 17-year-old John Bukovic, had been reported missing. So prior to his disappearance, Bukovic, I say I may call him Bukovic by his last name, because our future John are called John Wayne Gacy, like Gacy, ew. But there's two Johns, so we'll have to go with the last name for him. But anyway, gotten to an argument because John had failed to pay him his fair wage. And like that this young lad was like bursting his bollocks and hadn't been paid in like a decent while. So John lured this poor young lad over to his home under the pretense, oh yeah, look, we're going to sort it out. We'll settle this.
I've got your money right
here. Yeah, have your money. We'll let bygones be bygones. We'll chill. We'll have a couple of drinks. We'll just put it all behind us. Joe, you're my employee. I care about you. I don't want us to be on like, you know, rocky ground. And like that, this young lad, his father had also rang John about paying him his wage. So like his family were very much aware that, you know, like this young lad was in this kind of shitty situation with his employer. And the dad was like, look, he's only a kid. He's been working hard. Can you just pay him his fair wage? You know, it's not right. And he was like, oh yeah, you know, no problem. Like him and two of his friends are going to be coming over now to my house soon. And the three of them will be collecting their wages, right? There was no other, like, two other boys in this. So, like that, when the young lad went into John's home, he was put in handcuffs, raped. And John said he basically sat on the kid's chest for a while as he struggled to breathe and then strangled the rest of the life out of him. And he ended up burying the kid's body underneath his garage. He took the young lad's car and left it in a parking lot with his keys and wallet sitting in the front seat. And like that, obviously when he wasn't coming home, the dad, the family went out looking for him, found his car. And he knew that their kid was going to go see John that day, right? So they rang up John and were like, have you seen him? I know he's coming to see you today to collect his wages. We found his car, we can't find him. And he was like, oh, him and like two other kids came to my house, remember, like I was telling you. And they basically said that they were going to run away with all the money that they were getting. I was trying to talk them out of it, but you know, what can you do? Like, they're young boys, like you can't really make up their mind. And because they said he was running off in a group, there was no other two boys to question. Oh, like, did you go and get your wages with my kid, you know?
Yeah.
But like his parents weren't convinced at all of this bullshit that John was selling. And like they had called the police over 100 times begging them, like, please, please, please investigate John Wayne Gacy. There's something not right. That is where I am going to leave off before we get into even hairier situations and stipulations. Joyous.
For the fun for me to pick up next week. Mm-hmm.
Snaps and fantastic. Clicks all around.
Boop, 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 boop. Yeah. Oh, it gets so much more fun from here on out.
It does. Many more employees assaulted. Many more street kids being pulled over that get assaulted.
Many more murders. Not doing things about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, probably should have saved your little fucking innocent kid story for the end of the podcast.
Wait, do I have another one? Leave it with me. Do I have another one? Oh my God, I do. Wait, I have one. It's cute. It's kind of cute. So, do you know the way I was after the whole ghost story thing, right? Do you know the way I was telling you that I was telling him about like moons and like the craters and shit like that? I was telling him, do you know, like, the moon can get craters because when the big fireball, because I'm trying to describe an asteroid to the kids, the big fireball that goes really, really fast through the sky, it's a big rock and it hits the moon, which is also a big rock. And they're like, oh my fucking God, right? That's cool shit. But they were...
There's rocks in the sky.
Oh, and the fact that they were on fire, Christ on a bike, they loving it, right?
Mind blown.
It's like, and it hits the moon. And sometimes that's how it gets big, big craters, like these big, 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 big holes. And one of my kids was like, so the fireball slapped the moon? As if like, you know when you like slap one of your friends, like it was a bad thing? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, that's so bad manners. Why are they troubling the moon? And
why are they troubling the moon?
I was like, I know, it's so bad. But I was like, but the moon's okay. Like, it's fine. And then one of my, like, the other kids like, is the moon sad? And I was like, no, no, it's fine. It's fine. And then the kid that was talking about the ghost and the light gun, he was like, Miss Lizzie, it is okay. I will take my rocket and I will go see the moon tomorrow. It's okay. It's okay. I was like, okay, yeah, you do that, darling. I was like, let me know how he is.
Oh my gosh. Fantastic.
So, very, very
cute. What do you mean he? You way. Put some respect on her name. My gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that was nice. That was a nice way to end it.
It was.
Glad I asked again.
Mm-hmm.
Or didn't really ask, but like somewhat mentioned it.
No, we needed it. We needed something funny.
Yeah.
Or cute, at least.
We needed the lightheartedness. That was very cute. Why are they troubling the moon?
Why are they troubling the moon? There's like a tunnel down in. It's so mean.
And they're like, it's the choice of the word troubling.
Oh man, they're mad like for that. Like, if they're like one of the like friends is annoying them, they're like, "Miss Lizzie, that so and so is troubling me." And like they are doing nothing, only that they're sitting a bit too close to them. Like, do you know what I mean? Or their hand is on their chair. They're troubling me. I'm like, stop it.
Amazing. Fucking amazing.
Oh, my kids are so dramatic, I swear to guys. And they're leaving me now in 2 weeks, and I'm very sad about that.
Well, You'll have to raise another group of dramatic kids after
this. Oh my god, they're so dramatic.
I do actually have news.
Okay.
Based on your news.
Go on.
I hear.
Yeah.
All of a sudden this year you're not off in July?
No, I told you that. I literally told you this.
When?
When it got said to me. Because remember I told you, my boss was like, "I need you to do me a favour. Can you work July instead of August?" And because I have nothing this year, I was like, yeah.
Fair enough. My fucking fantastic mode of memory loss. Either I heard this afterwards or completely forgot. But
no, I've told you a long time ago. Because when I found out, I was like to everybody, BT dubs. I'm home in August. Okay, there.
I definitely forgot.
You did.
I 100% forgot.
Because
I still had it in my head that you were off in July. And I was like, I have to book 3 weeks of holidays and work and I have nothing planned. And I had to put them in. So I was like, I'm going to try and get a week off in July. An unprecedented fucking thing to get in any sort of food service. And even if I wanted to get August anyway, the whole fucking month was taken. So I couldn't. But like,
oh, Savannah.
Because I'd asked for August as well. So I finally got the week off of July and I went to Cuiva and I was like, "Cuiva, when's she coming?" And she was like, 28th of July. And I was like, "What the fuck do you mean the 28th of July?"
Oh, Sav, bless you.
My whole fucking life fell apart.
Oh,
I was going to Snake home to see you. Yeah. I'd like, of course, it's like, here's your good luck, but also no, it's not. Because I forgot that you were off in fucking August this year and not July.
Well, I'm really sad now.
Genuinely heartbroken. And I'm like, do I just go to Dubai?
You can. I'll be here.
I could. But it's fucking expensive.
It is. Well, actually, it won't be that expensive coming in the summer because of how hot it is. Everybody usually leaves. So coming is cheaper.
Oh, fair.
Mm. And you could obviously stay with me if you wanted. Which obviously you would. It's a thought July's to very ponder. Close.
I mean, yeah, I need to do some Googling.
Yeah.
Work out some figures.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm still fucking broke. But we'll find out. We'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
And if not July, there'll be a time before I leave.
Yes. I also have a week off in... No. Yes. No. No, the November one is taken by Emma. There's another one. September? October? I think I have a week off in October.
If you have time to come over in October, lush.
I can have a look.
And October would actually be nicer because it's pissing hot here at the moment. It's horrendous. But in October, it starts to get cooler.
Yeah.
There's a lot more going on now because it's not as hot.
We really don't need me fucking beef jerking out, like.
Oh, you will get sunstruck.
Yeah.
Just out of sheer luck.
Definitely.
Sheer luck of anything.
They got.
Yeah.
I turned into a whole Neanderthal in Turkey because my forehead got so badly burnt that it swelled out over my eyebrow. My whole eyebrows were recessed. And like I had fucking blobfish nose, the whole shebang. Like I got so horrendously burnt.
Shit.
In Turkey. And that was just Turkey.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine how I would fare with the fucking Dubai heat.
Oh my God.
But listen, I'm slowly going brown. So maybe if I can brown this shit out a little bit more before I get there, I won't burn so bad.
Yeah. And you don't burn necessarily. Like you'd burn quicker at home than you'd burn here.
Mm.
It's just the intensity of the heat. Because it's like the UV fucking index or the fucking call it is.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
always that high. But no, it's just the heat and the humidity. Because it could be something like sick, like 45 degrees and then like 70% humidity. So
yeah, see, I've hit over 40 and I wasn't okay already. It's not good.
And it's already so much hotter this year than it was last year. But 100%, if you can come over in October, savage. Absolutely savage.
Live with me, because it's not a fucking want of anything. I've got the time and I've got the will. I just don't know if I have the money.
Which is fair.
Leave a fucking with me.
Which is very, very fair.
Leave a fucking with me.
Very, very fair.
Okay, anyways, we were supposed to be wrapping up a podcast, so
we were, but sure.
I need to get my thing for this week. Quick.
Oh, you have to start a new thing. You can't be Scooter again, Savannah.
Oh, no.
We're on season 3 now, dude.
Fair. I just started the Scoots, though, so that's quite sad, but All right, we're going to have nothing then for this month. Or this month. Well, probably.
Even now it feels empty and sad.
Yeah. So we'll give her a final Scooter quote for the fact that we were unprepared for the fact that we were going on to season 3 today. And wrap it up here. We will see everyone next week for part 2 of The Worst Cunt in the World, or one of them.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully Kiva will be back, because she was very busy this weekend.
Yes, yes. Presumably she will be back with us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so just in the words of fucking Scooter, I would like to remind everyone to don't throw away the banana boxes and always be a hypocrite. Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our cult.